You know, every single Christian alive has to make this determination. So what are you going to do when trouble hits? What are you going to do when trouble hits? Not if, when. Jesus said, you will have troubles and tribulations. So be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? Every one of us has to make this determination. What are you going to do? Unfortunately, a lot of the churchgoers have just folded. And the pastors have folded. Jesus talked about hirelings. So they'll abandon their post. But look, we're not going to do that. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 10, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Father, we thank you that we have a Bible and a Constitution and a rifle. All three of these things that our nation rests upon. And we know that if one of those legs gets cut off, all of them will be. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom that you have given unto us, so that when we look into your word, we'll be able to rightfully divide your word of truth with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The number one thing. When you get hit with trouble, the very first thing you need to do is identify where that trouble is coming from. Too much of the church jumps up and says, why did God let this happen? This is the judgment of God. I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. Stop. Jesus pointed out right here. This is your determining factor. When trouble hits, go to John chapter 10:10. Just make sure your mind's clear on this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay. He just told who the thief was. He uncovered him. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, that's coming from the thief. Not God. Not God. If it's sickness, it's coming from the devil. Not God. He didn't do it. If it's poverty, it's coming from the devil. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. Not God. We need to be clear on this. Too many people don't know the difference between the blesser and the curser. I know this because when something happens, they say, well, God wanted me to learn something from this. Yeah, he does want you to learn something. He didn't do that to you. Actually, I had a preacher tell me, he said, God gave me a stroke to turn me into a preacher. And I thought, we were getting ready to preach to several hundred kids. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope he doesn't get up there. God is not going to inflict you with a sickness to teach you a lesson. He is not going to inflict you with poverty to teach you a lesson. He's not going to inflict you with any part of the curse to get you to repent. I don't know how much time it's going to take to get that verse to become a reality to the church. I see Christians post these posters all over the place. They talk about all these floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, COVID bug, all this other different stuff. Said, maybe God wants you to hear something. He does want you to hear something, but that's not coming from Him. That's part of the curse. If you want to get solid on it, go to the beginning. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And they were blessed. They had all of it in their hands. Adam sinned. And the devil took that blessing. And see, you got to understand, he's never been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do is twist. He took that blessing and twisted it and turned it into the curse. See, Adam and Eve were not created to die. So he took life and twisted it and turned it to death. He took faith and twisted it and turned it to fear. He took love and twisted it and turned it to hate. He took health and twisted it and turned it to sickness. Now, this is how you can understand that if something happens, if there's something wrong, it's because there is already something that is right. The devil has taken that something that was right and twisted it and made it wrong. Amen? So if something happens to you, you know already that there is an answer to it. And that answer has already been paid for at that cross. It's already been made right. God gave this thing to Adam. The devil stole it from Adam. Jesus came down here and took it back away from Satan. And he gave it to you. Amen. One of the biggest cop-outs in the world is when something happens, people will say, well, God is sovereign. And that is true. God is sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He gave you dominion over this earth. He gave you dominion over sickness. He gave you dominion over poverty. He gave you dominion over the fowls and the beasts of the air. He gave you dominion over this earth. Did you know you can create your own existence? And how well your existence is depends on how creative you are in getting the word in your heart and getting it out of your mouth into this atmosphere. Now that we're clear on where the curse comes from, not from God, let's look at the rest of that verse. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That is a curious thing Jesus said there. And this made the Pharisees and all those people really, really, really mad. Because he said, I am. What did God tell Moses when he was out in the desert? And Moses said, Who am I going to tell these people that you are? And he said, I am that I am. Jesus sat there and said, I am. Well, He is. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's qualified to say that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Did you know that God can prosper you during this COVID outbreak? The devil is doing absolutely everything he can do to destroy this world. And the church needs to be up in arms. Quit being a bunch of pansy asses. Stand up with the Word of God and the Constitution and say, no, we are not going to have this. Unfortunately, I can't get a hold of any of our commissioners. They'd be hearing about it. I haven't even seen them. They're the ones that should be standing up upholding the Constitution. And our sheriff should be upholding the Constitution. And it's our job to stand up and make sure they do that. Church does need to pray. But you know that there is a time when you need to get up out of the pews and get out in the open air and get active with what you profess to believe. Somebody asked me, said, why don't you ever wear a mask? I said, because Jesus is my mask, man. How is the community going to stand strong when the shepherds are running around hiding from the devil? Amen? They say, well, use common sense. I am using common sense. I'm believing in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is Lord over the COVID bug. Amen? So, now, we know that Jesus came to give us life. And verse 11 said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He certainly did that. He got on the cross. He took the full curse on him. He took it all. He took all the sins. He took all the sickness. All of it. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 says that he redeemed us from the curse of the law. All those sicknesses, all those problems, all that wrong stuff is part of the curse. And Jesus redeemed us from that. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How do we do that? By trying to earn something that God has already given us. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to believe it and receive it. Amen? He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What's at that table? At that table is everything that Jesus paid for us on that cross. Our provision, our healing, our health, our protection, everything that we need in life, he's freely given to us with Christ Jesus. Our responsibility is to belly up to that table and receive it. Amen? As a son of God, as a child of God, you go to that table and receive it. Not because you deserve it, but because it is a blood-bought privilege of yours as a child of God. Amen? Too much of the churchgoers are running around like Mephibosheth. He lived in Lodibar. He was crippled in his feet. He didn't know that he had this special covenant with David, King David, the most powerful man in the land. He thought King David was out to kill him. That's what he had been told. King David was out to bless him. Now we've got church members, you know, we got church goers running around thinking that God's out to curse them. Hiding from God. Well, God, full intent in everything that He is out to bless and heal. Okay, so we found out who the thief is and who got us. So we got that division there. Whose side are you going to be on? Let's choose God's side. Amen? Okay, so what's God got to say about this? Go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Gotta kind of excuse me. I'm kind of floating. I didn't get to use any notes today. So I'm preaching. I'm not teaching. So we're just trusting in the Holy Spirit to get us there today. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." I don't know, some of you have heard a lot of stuff that just doesn't line up with what that says. The rudiments of the world. Hide at home. The COVID bug gonna get you. Hide at home. Trust the government to supply your needs. Hide at home and let the government fix this problem. The government is the problem. Amen. Trust in God, the great I Am. He is the only one that can fix this thing. Amen. Now go over to Philippians chapter 4. And he said in his word, verse 6, he said, "Be careful for nothing." Literally, don't be worried. Don't be anxious about anything. Do not be fretful about it. Do not worry. I mean, there's so much going on right now. There's financial wrecks happening all over the place. Everything is just a mess. But he said, do not worry. He said, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And this is what you get. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's people that are going bonkers right now. Their minds are just scattered. And there's people that should know better, but their mind, they're just a mental basket case over this. There's people hiding. A heartbreaking story. We heard about this 80-year-old man that had been staying out in his car, hiding from the COVID bug. Because the people, the politicians and the media and all this other stuff got to him, and it scared him. It's scaring a lot of people. See, this is why it's so important to be rooted in the Word of God. Not the traditions of men. Not the traditions of men. not the doctrine of men, but be rooted in the Word of God. Because when trouble hits, this is going to be what keeps you from going crazy. You're going to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen. There's people running around. I don't even want to know what people are saying about me right now. There's some of them that are just foaming at the mouth because we're having services. I don't care. Yeah. So, he said to pray about everything. So we need to follow the directions. So let's go over to 1 John. Chapter 5. Verse 14. The Bible tells us this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. There's our directions in prayer. He told us to pray. And there's our directions. The very first thing He talks about in there is confidence. There's a lot of people running around that don't have confidence in God right now. They don't have that confidence. They're not absolutely convinced that they're not going to get the COVID virus. They're not absolutely convinced that they're not going to go broke. They're not absolutely convinced that Jesus is Lord. That's a shame. People that have spent a lifetime going to church need to be confident in the fact that Jesus is Lord. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus is absolutely everything. And He shed His blood so that we can stand fast in the liberty that we've been given. We're free from all this COVID bug stuff. The curse. We've been redeemed from that. We can have confidence in the fact that He's going to take care of us. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You should circle that word, anything. That means anything. If it's according to His will, which is His word. His word is His will. So, you get attacked with a problem. Remember, there's an answer for every problem, and it's in the Bible. If you get a sickness, there's an answer. It says, by His stripes you were healed. The financial crisis is attacking some people, then you got to look. Remember, there's something wrong or something right. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, it was kind of a touching thing, you know, the government and the president decided they were going to send out these stimulus checks. And I got a knot in my stomach about them stimulus checks. And I thought, man, I don't like that. I understand people need help. But understand this, there's always some nasty strings attached to everything the government does for you. Amen. And then they just went ahead and they tried to push a little bit further and they said, that's not enough. So we need to send everybody $2,000 a month until this. No. No, no. You need to get out of the way and leave us alone, and we'll figure it out. But there's a whole bunch of church that are sitting around saying, yeah, stimulus me. The government is not your source. God is your source. He goes on to say, if we know that he hears us. See, as long as we pray according to his word, he hears us. So how are we going to pray according to his word? See, one thing that we need to understand is we need to pray the answer. How are we going to do that? He said, with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you, my God, shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He heard that loud and clear. And Jesus, our high priest, and the Holy Spirit, who makes our prayers perfect, it just hit a home run in heaven. He said, finally, somebody bellied up to my table and he's receiving what I paid for. I paid everything to meet that need, the death of Jesus on that cross. It cost God everything, and he freely gave it to us. That's how we pray the answer. Find his word. When trouble hits, ask God for a special word from the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had a lot of experience listening to the Holy Spirit and hearing things from him, then go to the Bible and find an answer to your problem. It's a promise. You get attacked with a sickness. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 that says, by his stripes you were healed. So how do we pray that answer back to him? Say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that by his stripes I was healed. You paid for it 2,000 years ago. And it's mine. It's my heritage. It's my blood-bought right as a child of God. And because of your shed blood, I am the righteousness of God. And I receive your healing. I receive your provision. I receive your guidance. Because he said that you've given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You said that anybody that asks you in faith, that you'd give him wisdom. I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Too many people get caught in their prayer closet on their knees saying, please God, in the name of Jesus, help me. Please God, in the name of Jesus, do something about this problem. Please, God, in the name of Jesus. Please, please, please. They shut up and listen for just a second. They hear and say, I did that. I paid for that. I've already given it to you. It's yours. Quit acting like Mephibosheth and get up to the table and receive it in the name of Jesus. It's yours. How did you get born again? And honestly, how did you get born again? Somebody told you that Jesus got on the cross and died for your sins, and that if you believe that God raised him back to life and confessed him with your mouth, you shall be saved. So what did you do? You said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day I confess you to be Lord of my life. You believed it in your heart. You heard it. You heard the word of faith coming out of the Bible. You heard it with your ears. It got into your heart. And what you believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you find a promise in the Bible, you look at that, you hear it, you meditate that, you get it in your heart, and then you say what you believe. Amen. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, for he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. That's how we pray the answer. But, see, what you don't know will hurt you. If you don't know that in that Bible it says, by his stripes you were healed, you're going to walk around like an orphan and a stranger from the covenants of promise. You're not going to understand that it's not God's will for you to be sick. See, there's some people say it's God's will that I'm sick. I'm suffering with Jesus. No, you're being stupid. All the suffering that needed to be done happened 2,000 years ago on Jesus. He's the only one that needs to be suffering. You need to be walking in health. Besides that, if it's God's will, why are you going to the doctor? Which is it? Is it God's will or not? If it's his will for you to be sick, then buff up and take it. But don't go run to the doctor to get better. See the foolishness in this thinking? God's will is for you to be healed. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Ghost and went about healing all that were oppressed to the devil. All we got to do is line up our thinking with the Bible and what the Word says and stand on that. But you're going to have to get your mouth in gear. Too many people get their mouth in gear, but they get it in the wrong direction on the wrong stuff. Look over to Revelations. Verse 11. And it says, "Then they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is that? They believed in what Jesus did for them on that cross. And then the word of their testimony. What is their testimony? It says, "By his stripes I was healed. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches." When trouble hits, what is your testimony? "Save me, Governor. I need some cash flow." No. "Get out of the way, Governor. God's got this." Amen. I'll tell you, just you can't even imagine how stupid the government is right now. People go to the store to buy food, and they put a limit on the items they can buy. So you can only get 2 jugs of milk. So, okay, they'll only buy 2 jugs of milk. They tell the dairy farmers, "We have too much milk. Dump it out. And we'll pay you. Only buy 2 rolls of hamburger." Okay, buy 2 rolls of hamburger. We got people raising beef, they can't get rid of it. People raising hogs, they can't get rid of it. The government says, "Okay, we'll subsidize you." No, why don't you just get out of the way, let the free market take care of itself. Amen. This thing will level out. Do you see how stupid this is? Only the devil could get this thing so messed up. Amen. He's the enemy. He's the thief. And he got to realize that the government, a big portion of the government, is being led by the devil. They're not being led by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. We have a few. People don't seem to see that though. Now go over here to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Having said this, we found out who the thief is. We found out whenever there's a problem, there's an answer. And we know how to pray now. We know how to pray in the throne room. We got a word from God. We know how to pray. We're standing on this. Now what do we do? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want every one of you to say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. My name is not whom he may. I'm a whomsoever from the tribe of Judah. I'm bought by the blood of Christ. He is Lord. And he's my Lord. And in him I rest. Amen. Yeah, look at this. Now, we did this praying. Now we got to watch. Make sure that we don't buy into the roars. I really like the best analogy I can come up with this. In Africa, these goat herders would make these little pens made out of thorn hedges. And they put their goats in those little pens. Well, these lions would come up to those pens at night and they would roar. As long as those goats played it cool and stayed in their little hedge of protection, they were all right. But if they got afraid and took off, they were toast. The devil will come to you and roar. What's the roar? Well, the government numbers say that there's going to be 2 million people die of coronavirus by the end of this month. Are you going to overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony? Are you going to have to say something? Said, no, my God says that I'm all right. My God says that no evil shall come near me and no plague shall come near my dwelling. Amen? Too many people get scared, though, and they take off running and they grab a face mask. And they hide in their house and give up on living and just expect government to save them. No. No. Plead the blood of Jesus. So I am under the blood of Jesus. I am covered in the blood. I am blessed and highly favored, and I'm going to go about my life, and I'm not going to let you roar me into being scared. Amen. Amen? Thank you, Father, for this. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? This is probably one of the smartest things that you could do right now is take communion. And if you're at risk or feel like you're at risk, then get some bits of bread and some wine and take communion every day. You can. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. You know, you could take it every day. You could take it three times a day. But Paul said to discern the body of Christ. So we look at this bread and we see that it's without yeast. I mean, Jesus is without sin. This bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread is slightly burned. And it's the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. That judgment that was meant for us was laid on him. So Jesus, we're taking this in remembrance of you. We proclaim your death and we proclaim the devil's defeat. We thank you for your broken body and we thank you for your life that's coming into us when we take of this. Jesus, your blood not only washed away all of our sins, but your blood overcomes all of our adversaries. And we plead the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for this shed blood of Jesus. It has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your blood has sanctified us. Your blood protects us. And your blood makes the New Testament promises ours. We praise you for this and thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you, Father, for your life, and thank you for the victory that Jesus made for us on that cross. We thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection, Father, and we thank you that as our high priest, he is at the right hand of God, and he pleads for us. Amen. Amen. All right, we have coffee and snacks back here. Everybody's welcome to come on back and visit a little bit.